God bless each and every one of you. May the Lord of hosts, Lord of the Sabbath, King of saints be with all of you of the body of Christ, be your guide. Even as we know he's promised to be just that, our King and Savior. Just takes a little faith seed and plant it, and then by the watering of the word, the seed implanted will grow into a tree with benefit of fruit for the believer and shade for even the fowls of the air who nest there. Greetings in Jesus' name. This is Brother Ryan from the assembly at Pine Creek Independent Church in Illinois, USA. I'm honored once again to share some words of life with you that do not originate with myself, but are eternal expressions of the Almighty God who started this all by his wisdom and by expression. As in Genesis 1:3, we have the first given sentence of the Lord's desire, in that he said, "Let there be light," which is to say, let there be life, flourishing and abundant. And that statement did not end there, not in its effect. Didn't stop at the light of the natural kind that fostered life and made it possible, but it continues right on to the time of John the Baptist, who confessed that he was not that light himself, but testified of one Jesus of Nazareth, who was indeed the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. From John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. As God is he who gives more light, and it simply does not end. His light's eternal, for we see the presence of God himself. It powers the kingdom which is to come, where and when there will be no more need of the sun and the moon to show the way, and what a blessed hope is set before us. In my country, there's a saying, perhaps in yours too, that some things are too good to be true. And since we live in a day and age where deception abounds, that's often so. But in Christ and in his promises, what is written is too good to not be true, because it comes from on high. It comes from the source of all righteous truth that God is. So consider the source, as our life and being comes from the Lord and is passed down through the ages by believers of all nations and kindreds and tongues, and we have all entered into the labors of those who have come before us, even as we seek to pass on the banner of liberty to those that follow after us. As we're not complete without the witness of the saints of ages past, and they're not complete without us either. For the gathered saints of our age were indeed the object of all the saints of the past hoped for in the Lord. And the life of the forward vision, that's always in the heart and soul of every believer, and it's always future in Christ, as we look to pass on the word of God to those who follow after us. Even as we look ahead to the place prepared, of which Jesus said, "I go there, and if it were not so, I would have told you." Back in the spring, I started a series entitled Times and Seasons, which were centered around the belief that the life of the Savior is reflected in the pleadings of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'd just like to continue on in that, as indeed all scripture is reflective of the nature of God. Some very directly so, but all line upon line inspiration is given us to set our hopes on high and deliver us the will of he who alone is worthy to be praised in the manner of worship. So I just want to continue on in that way in title. So this would be Times and Seasons, and it would be by number. It would be part 6, as we reflect on the glory of the Almighty God through this week. And at that time, back in the spring, I'd only progress through Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3 by adding some comparative scriptures. So let's just reread Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 1, just to lay the background and refamiliarize ourselves with the subject matter, and along the way offer some explanation as the Lord leads and guides, all as we pray that we are within his will. So, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Briefly comprehended, the life of Jesus, which is to be at this point, is reflected within the wisdom of the scriptures, some 900 plus years ahead in time at this point. And it's day-to-day understanding for each and every soul that partakes of all the purpose of God. But certainly the life of Jesus is given as example of what all that the Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God would endure in every purpose given under heaven. For Jesus would have to undergo every circumstance that we, being his disciples, would have to make our way through. And our lives are always meant to be a reflection of his will. So of a necessity, the Messiah messenger would have to live out these verses as he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Thus it is that, though that Ecclesiastes is not a prophetic book after the manner of the book of Revelation, or the book of Revelation of the Old Testament, which is Daniel the prophet, yet without a doubt the spirit of prophecy certainly lives within its pages, as is the case for all divinely inspired books of the Bible. If you open the Bible to any page and point at any scripture, there's a time and a purpose for that scripture, and it all leads us to Jesus. As the testimony of Jesus being held within the witness of the spirit of prophecy is always at hand, always at work, always alive, always revealing his will and bringing the works of God to the birth. And Bethlehem was the time to be born, of verse 2 here, as so foretold, as you well know, in Micah 5 and verse 2. And the time to die, well, that was at the cross of Calvary upon Golgotha. For Christ, who is the object or the centerpiece of all things that are yea and amen, fulfilled these scriptures, even as it applies to our own lives as well, in our being born and then when we go on to receive our spiritual inheritance and reward. The time to plant or then to pluck up that which was planted, that speaks to God's patience and his enduring mercy and finds its way into the parable of the wheat and tares that Jesus delivered in Matthew 13. Verse 3, well, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. The last enemy to be put off, it's death itself. Let's kill death itself. The word of God will do that one day, as it's death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. And the healing leaves of the tree of life are there in Revelation 22 and verse 1 for the binding up of the wounds of nations, as every hurtful thing will be taken care of, and there will be no more curse of death. That's the future, at the throne of God and of the Lamb of Sacrifice, and all else will be cast away into the lake of fire, and it will perish. And a time to break down and a time to build up is given in foundation in Jeremiah chapter 18. As the potter at the wheel reforms and reshapes the clay into another vessel as he sees fit. And God has broken down the nation Israel since the generations following Christ. But the call is to build his people back up, to verify that God has not cast away his people that he foreknew. And that brings us to the place where we left off and part 5 in the spring. So let's just carry on from there in every purpose under heaven to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And now we are to verse number 4. In a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Well, through the times to weep and the time to mourn, there are no victories without battles, and weeping and mourning will be turned into the joy of laughing and dancing of rejoicing. As the maker and giver of all spiritual blessings, he set life and death before all of us, which is the bottom line of all decisions. In one way or another, you will choose between the two. Life and choice, they demand that of each and every one of us. And between all the experiences of telling between right and wrong, between good and evil, between darkness and light, the choice of all choices is that, will it be life in Jesus' name, or will it be the darkness of death? So we come to the time that there is to weep, or alternately, to feel the joy of laughter in gladness. Not like Sarah, if you recall, who within herself she laughed in disbelief, incredulously, at the promise given for her and Abraham to conceive together, despite her age, and produce an heir, which is in Genesis chapter 18. She would deny laughing for fear of the results of her actions. But it all comes down to this: is anything too hard for the Lord? Impossible things, they simply do not exist in Christ. So, these two words that are compared to one another in the weeping and the laughing, they all lead to the victory. They work together for good if you hear the calling of his purpose, as the life of Christ is reflected there, just like a face is reflected in a mirror. And that life, it has to manifest and show itself as the Word became flesh to dwell among us. And it can be no other way. So that brings us to our next verse, which is St. John chapter 11, verse 35. If you recognize that verse, you'll know that it won't take very long to read this, because it's two words, which are, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Amazing how nine letters formed into a name and an action in the English tongue can describe something so very profound. Jesus wept. A time to weep, that was it. Nowhere else in creation have two words said so much, with the exception, this exception, of I am, which was given to Moses at his commission from out of the flames of the bush that was not consumed by fire, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. But at the tomb of Lazarus, there was indeed a time to weep for Jesus, just as Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4 speaks of. A time to mourn and a time to dance for joy, that was coming here also, as two words spoke volumes about who Jesus was, is, and is to come in the expression and in the compassion of sorrow of loss. In the times and seasons, the purposes under heaven, it could be no other way. As the content and intent of Scripture, they have to become real. They have to become alive, for this is a living word. For his life is our life. Our life is in him. And for these reasons, the written word could have it no other way. And that shows here in the testimony of a Redeemer, just as it would in Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. As you recall how Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thee, but you would not. And then we come to the portion of the scripture. From a time to weep, we go to a time to laugh. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. And a few verses to read here, starting at verse 20. And as to Jesus weeping, what always astounds me is the emotion of Christ, even though he knew he was there to call out Lazarus from the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. As plainly the scripture, it tells us that Jesus, he said, we go to wake Lazarus from sleep, which was the sleep of death. But even though that was all true and he knew what was upcoming, still, the master felt every bit of the sting of death, but yet the grave, it wouldn't have any victory. What a moment. What a moment. And all our faith is based upon that. The fact of the resurrection, where the grave has no victory. So we come to Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, and now there are laughs of derision and mockery and all types of things, but there are also laughings of the pure joy of life. And we'll find that here in Luke chapter 6 from verse 20. And he, being Jesus, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. A time for weeping, a time for laughing. It's right here within the life of Christ. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. So, there are blessings and there are cursings set before us, and the character of our inward being is determined by the choices we make in our life. But with promises kept and souls redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that was foreseen from ever, from upon the mountain of Moriah, where Abraham and Isaac were supplied with a substitute for the sacrifice, and on down, there will be a time of such pureness of joy for those that are blessed by the promises of the Heavenly Father. Time to weep, time to laugh. It's on full display here. And there will be fullness of joy at the day of the Lord, even amidst all the weeping of the unrepentant. Look forward to that. Because once it's written, once it's conceived, inspired, and put down in writing, it's as good as spiritual gold in Jesus' name. There's meaning and purpose to all these things. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So stay blessed in the faith. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow. But stay blessed in Jesus' name, my brothers and my sisters.